We're the station that focuses on things on your mind. WGNS. And this is Rutherford Issues.
Yes, today's weather is kind of a day for the birded fowl of the waters.
Those that float.
We're going to talk about that with Kristen Demas, representing the Child Advocacy Center today. And it's kind of a nasty afternoon, isn't it?
Dude, it is like serious outside. I had a hard time getting over here.
Well, if you had some little feathered friends to help you along the way, maybe.
I know. I should keep them with me all the time. I could have like a flotilla of ducks just to, you know, ferry me from one place in town to the other. Then maybe I wouldn't get pulled over so much. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. They may pull you over more.
Oh, they might. Maybe. Of that. You know, I might cause a spectacle.
Anywhere you go, you call it a spectacle.
Oh, thanks.
But the Duck Derby is coming up. We want to talk about that. And some folks may not realize the Child Advocacy Center Duck Derby. There's been a longer period between the last two, hasn't there?
Yes, we have. We we needed to switch seasons, duck race seasons, from drought season, which typically occurs in Tennessee, it seems like around August and September, back to a more rainy season, as we are set up today. So we are actually going to float these ducks in June this year.
So that gives you enough time where the weather usually turns off warmer and not as much rain, but we've had the rain from the spring.
We have had the rain, and that way the water levels in the Stones River don't get quite so low because, as you can imagine, it's quite difficult to float 10,000 rubber ducks in a river that's not moving. They actually just sit there. So we like to have flow, and so right now it's probably very thick out there.
It'd be a quick race.
The waterfall, I'm sure, is going quite well right this minute, actually. And we use that waterfall, and that's what helps us to propel the ducks through the water and then get onto the finish line. So if it keeps up, you know, if we have a rain like this, once every week, all the way to June, I will be set. It will be perfect.
Well, how long does the race take now or in the past? Forever?
I always say this is my favorite part of the duck race because you don't ever know, you know, what's going to happen. Mother Nature has a way of pulling tricks out of her hat every once in a while. But we've had races go where it seems like the ducks were never going to make the finish line and literally take like 35 minutes. And if you can imagine watching rubber ducks float in the river for 35 minutes and there's nothing else going on, it's not as much fun.
It's kind of like watching paint dry.
It's kind of like watching paint dry, exactly. And then we also had races end go as quickly as 8 minutes, to where literally from the time that I usually start the race up on the dam and help them get the ducks started. And then I have to cross over the water and work my way through that and then get to the finish line. And sometimes that's challenging. Sometimes I've fallen actually a couple times. Last year I fell off the dam, as a matter of fact. Yeah, that was great. That was a classic moment. But but this particular year I'm telling you about, it took 8 minutes. And the reason why I know that's because it took me 8 minutes to get all the way from the dam into the finish line, and the ducks actually beat me there. And so that was not as much fun either. So I would love, if it was an ideal situation, I'm sure Mother Nature's listening to me right now, and she's going to give me what I want, but if it were an ideal situation, about 12 to 15 minutes would be a perfect duck race.
Perfect duck race.
Well, that, you know, and we actually floated more than 10,000 ducks because that means we sold more than 10,000 ducks, and the weather was perfect. It was, you know, like 80s and not too hot. And I mean, I could keep going with my list of what would be the perfect duck race, but that would be a good one right there.
Well, hopefully the change in season will allow us to get closer to perfect, and that's kind of the reason for the change. It's been a while since you have worn your Queen of the Quackers crown. That's hard to say.
Queen of the Quackers crown. That is it. Yeah, that's a tongue twister.
But it's good to see this back. It's a community event that everyone seemed to embrace quickly and look forward to it, and that's really neat.
Absolutely. I think it's just because it's so much fun. I mean, seriously, who doesn't like rubber ducks? If you don't like rubber ducks, I don't know that I want to meet you. That's just the way I look at it. I mean, they're fun. They're so much fun, and they're silly, and they represent children, and children should always represent happiness and good things in life. And, you know, and so this is an event that, although it's for a serious topic and we're addressing serious issues, we're having fun while we raise awareness about a very serious issue. So
I think Mother Nature just spoke to you, by the way,
behind
really.
You. She did, really. I was getting a little concerned over here, Bron. Are we safe in this building?
Yeah, you're okay. You're okay. There are only about 200 fire hazards here, but that's okay.
That's fabulous.
We do what we can to for the safety of our guests.
Okay, great.
Well, that is really neat. The Child Advocacy Center really works, does some outstanding work here in Rutherford County, and I want to give you the chance to kind of talk about that work because I know you're very passionate about what they do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be volunteering your services to help them raise money.
Absolutely. You know, I've been on the board with the Child Advocacy Center, I think, since 2004. And it's a board that I hope to stay on. I don't want to roll off because I feel so passionate about the children that they serve. These children are innocent victims that have been through something that I personally can't imagine, and hope, just pray that no one I know has to go through that. Children are supposed to be safe. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be safe in their homes. They're supposed to be safe in their schools. They're supposed to be safe on their baseball teams, and they shouldn't have to face challenges of abuse. And the Child Advocacy Center works with these children who are the unfortunate victims of this abuse, and they work with the non-offending family members. And they provide a safe place for them, a place to go tell their story, where they feel safe, and they know that they're going to receive help and services. And to me, that's a feel-good. It is unfortunate to me how many children in the Rutherford County area that are served each and every year. And I mean, thousands. And I can't imagine that we live in this community and it's such a wonderful community, but yet we still have this problem where thousands of children have been abused.
Now, when we talk about abuse, is this physical, sexual abuse, any of the above, I guess?
The Child Advocacy Center, they do handle physical and sexual abuse, primarily sexual abuse is the cases that they see the most. And, you know, unfortunately, if you look at your website, you listen to your all's news broadcast and you read the newspaper, the DNJ or the Murfreesboro Post, almost weekly you will see a case that has been mentioned where there's been an issue of sexual abuse, and the Child Advocacy Center is always playing a part within that, a role within that case. Basically, when a child has had a report of abuse, they are referred over to the Child Advocacy Center, where the trained staff members will interview the children about what has happened, and it's documented, it's made so that it can be taken to court if mm-hmm. they for evidence. And while the child is being interviewed and working with a counselor, then the non-offending family members are also being interviewed at the same time. And so they're trying to address it from that side. The next phase that comes in is the local DA's office. They have several prosecutors who are trained just to work with these families. And so they will help them to navigate through the legal fields. And then on the opposite side of, or the flip side of that, the children will receive counseling services. They do group therapy over at the center one day a week for both the children who have been abused and also the non-offending family members. So as you can see, when they go, once they enter the services of the center, all of their needs are met in the terms of what to do, who to talk to, get their story out, and then start to receive help.
You know, we really are very fortunate to have the CAC here because, you know, there are other communities that don't. And I can just picture, you know, what this child is going through and whatnot, and having to be interviewed in a cold, dark, you know, police station, you know, and that would be the option if it weren't for the CAC.
Exactly. That's what was happening, actually, here in Rutherford County and in Cannon County before the Child Advocacy Center opened here. And it opened here. We've been in existence about 12 years now, I believe. But that's exactly what was happening. Children would be taken to the police station to be interviewed, or they were interviewed in their principal's office at the school. And as you can imagine, even though that child might logically know I'm not in trouble just because I'm in this police station, or just because I'm in, you know, the principal's office at the school, I'm not in trouble, but they're still, you know, they freeze up. It's a scary place for them.
Sure.
And so what they have found, that since the opening of the center, they've been able to get more prosecutable cases to be able to take to court because the children are more willing and able to open up and tell their story. And, you know, and on the flip side of it, too, unfortunately, there are times where, you know, you have issues where maybe the story's not true. For whatever reason, this child might have been coached to tell a story. The Child Advocacy Center, when they interview the children, they also know to look for that. So it's there for the safety on both sides of the issue mm-hmm. to make sure that this story is legitimate, that it's real, and this family's really going through this.
They're trained, you know, to you have counselors that work with the kids.
Yes.
and they're trained to do that versus maybe a police officer or someone who has that training, but it can be intimidating. I mean, this is a person that, you know, the kids can relate to. They're working on their level to try to get the information and get the correct information.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a job that I can't really imagine
yeah.
having to do and having to listen to the stories day in and day out. I think it would be very tough. But they, we do work in partnership with the police department, and they also have specially trained investigators that know how to interview children. It's different, you know.
Sure.
That's a special training that they have to go through. And that's also the same thing with the district attorney's office. That's why they have special prosecutors that work just child abuse cases, because they recognize that it's a special training.
Kristen Demas is here representing the Child Advocacy Center, a board member with the CAC. Now that we've got the background of what goes on at the Child Advocacy Center, now that we know the work that that goes on there, who wouldn't want to help?
I mean, for real. I mean, you're working with rubber ducks.
Yeah.
I know. That's what I say.
And the money goes to help with operations and keep things going. I mean, because it's, you know, a nonprofit agency.
Absolutely. And their funding is dependent primarily on local, state, and federal grants, which, as you know, during times of economic misfortune, maybe we should term it, those grants are usually the first ones that are cut. And so the Child Advocacy Center, although they also do receive a good amount of funding from the United Way, they still need independent funding, and so that's what this fundraiser is for.
Sometimes that money is cut, and then, you know, it is where it's needed most, but that's the first to go, and I really don't understand that sometimes.
I don't either, but it is the state of affairs, and it's the fact of life, but yes, and they are very dependent on those grants, and we're so thankful for them, but yes, during times of economic issues, then they are the first cut.
This community just eats this event up, and that's great, because the money raised stays right here in our local area, and a lot of people do a lot of hard work. So now, how can we get involved? How can we help? Purchase ducks. How does that process work?
Purchase ducks. Okay. Well, basically, what's going to happen is we will have duck adoption season, which is going to start at the end of May.
Okay.
So what you will do is just visit one of our local duck adoption centers, and $5 gets a duck. Basically, all that means is you pay $5 and you get your duck entered into the race for a chance to win great prizes. We're still putting together the prizes, but they will be very similar to what we had last year. And as you can remember, last year our grand prize was $5,000 cash, which was fabulous. So anyway, but we're working on that again for this year. We do already have Demas's assigned on again. I don't know how we were able to rope them in, but
wow. That's great.
I mean, gosh, they're 5 years in now, but they're going to donate a $500 gift certificate for a prize. And also, Bell Jewelers is back on board with us again this year with another $500 gift certificate. And then we just signed on with Lanes, Trains, and Automobiles the other day, and they're going to donate 1 year of bowling unlimited for a family of four, which is really cool. And so anyway, but that's what will happen. You'll just visit our local adoption sites at the end of May all the way through June 23rd, which is the day of the duck race, and that's where you can adopt your ducks.
Have you painted any rooms in your house yellow or anything? No?
Not yet, but in my garage, there are lots and lots of ducks, and as I've started working on this fundraiser, both of my kids are all like, oh, the ducks are back, Mom. That's great. We're
and
so excited.
Now they're, what, over a year older now. So
they are. And Jamie has his heart, my nine-year-old, has his heart set on actually getting in the water with me this year to work with the ducks. So he's in a cast right now. I'm not really sure that's going to happen, but I'm hoping he'll get out of that cast just in time to help me this year.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, that's one great reason why Demas and many other great restaurants, but you kind of have an inside track there, I think.
Yeah, I know how that works.
So, businesses, I guess there are still opportunities for them to do some stepping up by not only, you know, maybe purchasing ducks, but also the opportunity for them to give away some great prizes.
Oh, absolutely. We've got several ways for our local community business members to take part in the duck race. One, you can be a sponsor. We're very excited to announce a partnership this year with Sudsy's Car Wash, and they are actually going to be our presenting sponsor this year.
Well, they've got a duck. They have the
super cool duck, and they have a duck car.
Ah.
Have you seen the duck car?
It's
so cool. And they're going to take it on site for me, so I'm so excited about Sudsy's. And so, anyway, we're actually revamping our logo to include their duck with our duck. It's almost like, you know, they're hanging out. So we're very excited about that. So anyway, we've got lots of other businesses that we would love to have as sponsors this year. So that deadline is actually April 19th. If anyone's interested in sponsorship for the duck race, we would love to have you. And then, of course, great prizes make for a great duck race. And so if you're interested in donating a prize, we would love to have that too.
So how do we get the information to the people that that need this in terms of sponsorships and prizes and such?
All they'll need to do is call the Child Advocacy Center, and we can send a sponsorship packet out to them. The phone number there is 867-9000.
867-9000. And this is the board that puts this on and volunteers, right?
Yes, it is.
How many volunteers does it take for the duck race?
I'm asked that question on a regular basis. I can tell. I don't know how many volunteers we actually utilize between now and the time we get the ducks in the water, because we have so many people that scatter in and out. But I can tell you the day of the duck race, we use over 100 volunteers just that day. But then we have our core committee members, and there's about 12 of us that make that up. And we're the ones that meet every 2 weeks and plan all this fun stuff out. So that's 12 on our core committee, and then, like I said, about 100 the day of the race.
Do you promise to keep us updated on things as we get closer?
Oh, absolutely. If you'll invite me back and maybe, I don't know, help me get over here where it's not raining so bad and I'm fighting thunderstorms. And
well, you may be able to float one down Broad Street.
I think I probably could, actually.
Right now, it's really coming down. So give us the phone number again, and isn't there some information online, or soon will be?
Yes, actually, you can visit our website right now, which is duckrace.com/Murfreesboro. But then if you want specific sponsorship information, that would be at 867-9000.
Very good. Kristen, thanks for coming over on this dreary day.
Rainy.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Brian.
Kristen Demas joining us, board member for the Child Advocacy Center. And again, it's duckrace.com/Murfreesboro, where you can find a lot of information. We'll be telling you all about it as we go along the next few weeks right before the duck race in June. Hope you'll stay with us. We'll wrap things up in a moment.